You may be seated. You know, as I was thinking about it, that was a large church, and we were able to preach to many hundreds of people there. I don't know what it holds. But from this church, there was more, the most conservative possible estimate that you could make of our Sunday morning service here, counting the tapes and the radio, not the books, but just the tapes and the radio, by the most conservative count would be 3,000 people. And it may be more, maybe considerably more, considering that one will hear it and pass it on to others, and using less than the most conservative estimate of 100 listeners for everyone who writes in, we are ministering each Sunday morning to well over 3,000 people. So while that was dandy there, there's actually more of a voice of God going forth from here. It's just in terms of hearing the people hearing the gospel, I should say, the people hearing the gospel. So we're not impressed with numbers, praise the Lord. He has his own way of doing things. All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. But there's still that 4.5 billion people bugging me. Tend to touch them all in my lifetime, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, God's got the power. He said every creature. He didn't say all of them except one-third of them or something. All right, Romans 11, we'll read verses 1 through 5 there and see what the Lord would say to our hearts this day. I haven't preached out of this too much. It hasn't been that real to me, actually. All right, here we go. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and dig down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal.
Even so, then,
at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And you remember in another place, Paul said, in this, it's somewhere between chapters 9 and 11 of Romans, he said, I could wish myself accursed because of my brethren, the Jews. How many remember that? You know, can you have any idea, see not many of you have read it, have you any idea what 9:3, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. That's what Moses said. Can you imagine what he's saying there? Is there anybody that you love enough that you are willing to be accursed from Christ for their salvation? Now, Paul was not just saying things here to be talking. Now, we know that the gospel began with the Jews. And then God came to the Gentiles to work. But in the end time, and I preached this, I just didn't realize we were so close to this, but I preached this in my books and things. When the full number of the Gentiles has come in, God will turn again to the Jews. And I want to lay that on you so heavily, because there was something, and the pastor conveyed it to me, but I don't want to go into the details on here. But what he was saying is this. Many times when the Christian ministers come to minister to the Jews, they minister them Gentile Christianity. And I did not do that. And I didn't do it by instinct, not by knowledge. But these people really turned me on. And I didn't know I had any burden for the Jews. I don't say that I do. I get carried away. But it turned me on vitally, because And I talked to them about the new covenant. I talked to them about strictly Jewish things. And one thing that I said from the pulpit in the Lutheran church, and you've heard me say this many times, is that there is no such thing as a Gentile church. It does not exist. It's not scriptural. There's no Gentile church. Now, we have postulated that, but it is a Gentile tradition. It's not scriptural. You will not, in fact, you'll find clear scripture against it. Now, I did not know this, but this Christian embassy and these people who minister to the Jews, this is what they are teaching, is that the Gentiles are finally finding out that there's no such thing as a Gentile church. I didn't know there's anybody else that believed that, but I preach what I believe, whether anybody else believes it or not. It's just whatever God has given me, I give you faithfully. But I could see it plain as day. And I've also preached that in the last days, God would turn to the Jews. And another thing I've preached is that I can't get all excited about working with Israel as a nation because the fourth chapter of Galatians says that they are Hagar, they are of the flesh. You remember that? See, that we should be concerned about spiritual Jerusalem, which is in heaven, Galatians 4. Okay, now, that's right. That's right, and it may be true that a lot that is being done, and this question was raised, and it was raised to me. See, these are vital issues with people that are working with the Jews. To us, it's academia. I mean, what is that? We care. It may sound to you crazy, like I got brainwashed in Florida. But I want you to know that these are vital issues where people are aware of what's happening. And I met two people who are active, very active in the Christian embassy. One is Tom Stembridge, and another one is Ray, was that it? No. That's a fellow from Palo Alto. Thought I wrote his name down here. Tom Redman, who's a Southern Florida representative for the Christian Embassy. And he pressed me on this. How do I stand about what's going on in Jerusalem? And I said, well, brother, I tell you this, I have preached that if you want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the spiritual Jerusalem. And he says, well, what has happened, and I saw it immediately, is what has happened now, is the Gentiles are saying that they are the true church and that God is not going to move with the Jews after the flesh. See? Well, I knew better than that because Paul says when the full number of Gentiles comes in, that God's going to turn to Israel. You've heard me teach that. But what I did not realize is that I think it is already beginning. That's what I didn't understand. That we are so close. There's going to be one. You feel the power of the Lord in that? There's going to be one more great revival to touch the Gentiles. But at the same time, God is beginning. And the Lord laid this on my heart some months ago. And you may remember my saying, the Lord showed me that he loves Israel with a tremendous love. And he's longing for the day to be reconciled. You may remember my saying that. And that he's going to reconcile himself through us. And that we will follow the type of Joseph, and the Jews will be driven from where they are by tribulation into Egypt, see, to follow the type. You with me? They will be forced out of Jerusalem down in Egypt where Joseph was down here prepared to welcome them. And I've been teaching that we will be in that spot. It won't be Christ personally, but Christ in us receiving the Jews. Do you see that? That has already begun. I can feel it. I can see it. And you know, another thing that you can see is that all of the Gentile nations are lining up against Israel. And every Bible scholar that ever taught prophecy will tell you when you see that, brother, that is it. And let me tell you, the only group, now I've been going over this, we are being told lies on television about Lebanon. We are being told lies. And some of you may have gotten all shook up about whether there was the phalangists or who it was that went into that Palestinian camp and killed several hundred of those people in there. It wasn't the Jews, but the Jews permitted it. You know what I'm talking about? What, such a hue and cry? Do you know that in the last 8 years that the PLO has killed They estimate between 80,000 and 100,000 Lebanese, but no one has said anything about it. We're being brainwashed. We're not being told the truth. And you know who the only people are over there that are standing up for the Jews? The Christians. The Christian embassy keeps writing out these letters to inform the world that the truth that when the Jews went in, they were greeted by the Lebanese as liberators. They hate these PLO. The PLO came into their houses, took them over, hid behind the women and children, and our television's calling them fighters. And they are nothing but murderers. I don't talk politics. I'm talking the gospel. And the only reason I'm telling you that, I'm not getting into prophecy or politics or anything. I'm telling you that the nations, the Gentile nations and the United States with them, are lining up against the Jews, and the only friend in the world they're going to have is the Christians. The tribulation, just following the type of Joseph, is going to drive them right into our arms. Now, here's what has gone wrong, and this is where this fellow... Tom Redman, fill me in. And he says, the Gentile church has taken the tack that God doesn't care about the Jews after the flesh, but is only concerned about the spiritual Jews. And the reason I'm emphasizing this is my teaching could be construed to mean this. Because I have said there, the Jew after the flesh is not in the kingdom, and he is not. But the point is, see, and this is delicate and subtle, but you'll see what I mean. The point is not the Jews after the flesh or us after the spirit or anything. The point is that the gospel began with the Jews. And we were not made a separate church. We are belong with them. And I treat the Jews like this. I said, look, you've got it. I'm a poor Gentile. The point is that I am going to be made one with you. And the thought struck me that in Paul's day, Paul, a Jew, had to talk to the Gentiles and say, watch out for the Jews. And I'm a Gentile, and I had to talk to the Jews and say, why, watch out for the Gentiles, because they're going to load you with their traditions. I don't know if you follow that, but it's very true. They're coming preaching this rapture. And the rapture, if you stop to think about it, is anti-Semite. Because what it says, it is really anti-Semitism. Because it says God so loves this Gentile church, he won't allow it to be hurt, and he's going to carry us all up. And here the poor Jews without the Holy Spirit have to face Antichrist. Now what has happened to us is exactly what Paul said here. He said, we're getting puffed up. At verse 17, exactly what he said has happened with us Gentiles. And I humble myself among the Jews. I said, I hope that God will be able to bless you through me as I have been blessed through Paul. Do you follow me?
Sure.
Paul wasn't a Gentile. Peter wasn't a Gentile. Jesus wasn't raised in an English home. These are all Jews we're dealing with. And you can feel the power of God reaching out for those people. As Paul said here, it's by election, and God has not forgotten them, and he remembers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the gospel came to them first, and it's going to end up with them. And we Gentiles, if we'll get off our high horse, we'll do what God tells us, because they are his people. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You should hear the Jews when I preach there. Huh? They like it already. I don't follow bandwagons. You know me better than this, and I don't curry favor. I tell you what I honestly feel. What I honestly feel. And it's not everybody in Florida that's turned on like I am. I went and I saw it. I said, that's it. All right, verse 17. And if some of the branches were broken off, that's the Jews. Now, here's this wild olive tree. There's no Gentile olive tree, all right? There's only the olive tree, and the root is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's one olive tree. All right, the root, the branches, in verse 17 of Romans 11, which were the Jews, were broken off. Now, God broke them off because of their stiff-neckedness, pride, hard-heartedness, God broke them off. And thou, being a wild olive tree, we were cut out, and we were grafted in among them. Who's them?
Jesus.
the Jews. There's no such thing as a Gentile church. It's against the word. It's against the word. And he says, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Now remember, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's where the root and the fatness is. That's where the anointing, the prophets, Elisha, and all that we love and cherish in our Bible is Jewish from Genesis to Revelation. In the walls of the holy city, the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. You may not like it, but it's so. Praise the Lord. Now, notice what Paul says in verse 18, talking to us Gentiles. Do not boast against the branches. And that is what happens to us. Don't you see? We Gentiles, we've gotten the pride in us that somehow, you know, and for 2,000 years, the Jews have been persecuted for murdering Christ. Now, it was the cause of the Crusades and the things. And the Jews were terribly, terribly... in fact, they still remember it. And this pastor raised the question because I said one of the reasons that the Jews are so turned off and everything is our fault. It's the Gentiles' fault. And a lady was there, and a Gentile, she raised her hand, she said she objected to that. But the Jewish pastor spoke up and says, in our history, they burned the Jews while the Christians were singing Ferris Lord Jesus. Now you see, they have this memory, not just Hitler, not just that, but they have a memory all through the Middle Ages of Christians, burning them. We're getting back at them for murdering Christ. Now they have that in their psyche. See? That, and so when we go to bring them Christ, we have to take it on the chin because they can remember, you Christians. Well, the point is, it's that we did what Paul said. We were boasting against the branches. See? But if you boast, Paul says, remember, you don't bear up the root. The root is bearing you. And that's what we have lost sight of. We have lost sight of that part. All right, he says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and you stand by faith. Be not high-minded, which is endemic among us, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. You know, there's some that's teaching today that Jesus will not come and sit on the throne of David. I'm telling you that Jesus is the root and offspring of David. And he's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. And this Tom Redman told me that this is what's being taught on the West Coast. He thought that's what I was getting at. I said, brother, I never preached anything like that in my life. I know Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem, in literal Jerusalem. What I did not realize was that it had already begun. And I'm not anxious to get over there and dabble in politics. I don't think that's right. And I think an error could be made at this point in trying to get over there and labor with the politics. How this is going to mesh, I do not understand. I think it would be very easy for Christians who have lived in a mystical and spiritual realm for 2,000 years, suddenly they can find that they can address God on earth. There's something substantial here. There's going to be a great tendency to want to go over there because we can reach heaven by way of the airplane, if you see what I mean. Because when we begin to feel that one day Jesus will actually be in Jerusalem and we won't be praying to Jesus in heaven but to Jesus in Jerusalem, we're going to feel that within us as the day approaches, and the desire is going to be for people to go there. You follow me? We are in these days. And so what we've got to do is say, steady on, steady on. Let's let God do it. See? Let's let God do it. Because we're in the transition time now. Hope you follow that thought. All right? Now, in verse 24, for time. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature in a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? And when you see a Messianic Christian or a Jewish Christian, it's a marvelous thing. I mean, you can really see that the gospel is to the Jew first. You can really see that as it operates. And when they come, man, they come all over. I talked to one old fellow. And the Jewish lady says, go talk to him. He's having trouble with the Trinity. So I don't know. Here's a man, I would say 65 years old, a real nice man. kind of heavy set, and his head was bowed, and I put my hand on his back, and I said, "Brother, don't worry about God. What God is, God is." You know, all of our teaching isn't going to change it. And this is what I mean by Gentile tradition. He said, and this was evidently a new Christian, a man about 65, and he looks up at me, and so simply, he says, "But how," he says, "they're telling me that God left heaven." He said, "How could that be? If God left heaven, heaven would disappear." He said, "I can believe that a piece of God came down here." I said, "Brother, stay with it. You're on the right track." Because, you see, they have heard over and over, haven't they? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord." See, and you come preaching three gods, or emphasizing the threeness of the Trinity, and you lost them right there, because from earliest child they cannot be. Either Jesus is God, the Lord, Yeshua, you know, Yahweh, or he's nothing, because there's not two gods. So you have to be sensitive. And that's what Paul said, to the Jews, I was a Jew, to the Greeks, I was a Greek. And so I said, "Brother, I said, you're a good man, God loves you, he saved you, his son Yeshua is a part of God. You've got it. And don't worry about it past that." You see? See the conflict that people come in, because we come in with our Gentile songs and traditions. "Oh, God left heaven." Bible doesn't say that. We made that up. That's what I mean. We've got a lot of traditions. The best thing is to leave the people with their little hats and in their thing and celebrating their Rosh Hashanah and all the rest, and then let them get the message of Jesus from that. We don't have to load on them all our songs about heaven and everything. They're not looking for heaven. They're looking for the kingdom. Yes. Man, I was... Ooh, wow! Man! No problem with kingdom preachers among the Jews, I'll tell you that. Because that's what their prophets said. See, and that's what the angels said to them. And the kingdom is coming, and Yeshua is coming. And he's going to say, "Amen, brother, that's what I believe," you know. So, as I say, we've got to be careful that we've got to keep warn the Jews, don't swallow all this Gentile stuff. It's good. It's brought the Gentiles where they are, but a lot of it is just adiaphora. It's just stuff stuck on. It's not of the essence. If you stay with the essence, then you don't have much confusion. And so he says in verse 25, "I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits," which we are, "that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness." Now that word fullness means full number. See, God has a finite number. And when that last Gentile, now, I don't believe that the last Gentile come in and God will say, click, poo, it goes to the Jews. God doesn't work that way. There's a transition, see? There's a transition. Because you're dealing with people and the way they do. And I think this transition has begun, which tells me that we are near the end of the gospel to the Gentiles. And when God cuts that off, there will not be this message, at least not as we know it, to the Gentiles, but it will be dumped, just turned full bore on the Jews. And that's what it says. So all Israel shall be saved. Now this Tom Redman and I talked about this. He said, I've been laboring with that verse, and he told me what conclusion he had come to, and it's exactly the conclusion that I had come to, that by all Israel, God means the Jews who are saved and the Gentiles who are saved. See, because we have come into Israel. See, we're not Gentiles anymore. I can show you that from Peter. I can show you that from Ephesians. We're not Gentiles. Once we become part of Christ, we're the seed of Abraham. So what God is saying there is that I'm going to start with the Jews. I'm going to bring in some Gentiles. I'm going to finish it up with Jews like a sandwich with us in the middle. And that whole thing is going to be saved. See? All Israel shall be saved. The whole thing that God has, the remnant, the election that God has called, will be saved. All right, now, I told you a verse on that is Ephesians. And how people could preach a Gentile church and looking at Ephesians is more than my poor brain, Gentile brain, can understand. But in Ephesians chapter 2, You notice, I said we should read verse 2:10 as well as 8 and 9. Well, we should go on to 11, which we will do. Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles. Goodbye, Gentiles. This is not a Gentile church here. Huh? This is Congregation Beth Poway or something. Time passed. Time passed. See? Out in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, that at that time you were without Christ. So if you're a Gentile, you're without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. Who hath made both one. And who's the both? Jew and Gentile. See, Jesus said, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. See? But there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And you see, Joseph had a Gentile wife by the name of Asenath, and her father's name was Potiphera, and he was priest, maybe the high priest of all of Egypt. And Joseph, the Jew, married his daughter. Now, to Joseph and Asenath were born Ephraim and Manasseh. But Ephraim and Manasseh were not considered half Jew and half Gentile. See, the moment that Asenath became married to Joseph, she became Israel. Because otherwise Ephraim and Manasseh would have been half, see? But they're tribes in Israel. And so, I like to think of the kids going up to see Grandpa Pot. And then get your Potiphera as their grandfather. And I'm sure he spoiled them rotten with all his Gentile ways. But the thing is, their mother had become one, and they were Ephraim and Manasseh. And so that's your type, is that in the end time, the tribulation will force the Jews right into the arms of people in Egypt. That is one of the great spin-off benefits of the tribulation, is that it's going to force the Jews into the arms of Christ in us. They're not going to find him anyplace else. Praise the Lord. Because when he comes, that every eye shall see him, that's the coming of the Lord at Armageddon. That's Revelation 1:7. I'm talking about this Redeemer coming out of Zion, this thing. All right, now notice here. But now in Christ Jesus, all right, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make himself of two, one new man. Could you imagine Paul turning over in his grave at the talk about a Gentile church and a Jewish church? It's terrible teaching. Terrible. This isn't the only place. And that he might reconcile both, that is Jew and Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were near. Now you can imagine how the Jews without Christ felt when they're being burned and seeing their relatives burned and the Christians singing Fairest Lord Jesus. And that's the way we returned the debt we owe the Jews from the teachings of Paul and Peter and John. That's the way we returned it, by going to their kinsmen for whom they are willing to be accursed, singing Fairest Lord Jesus and burning them at the stake. See? That wasn't of God. That was of Satan. Because Satan hates the Jews, and he has. And that's why Antichrist, if you read Daniel, Antichrist's number one object is the Jews. And if you read today about persecution, you'll find that the heavy guns are turned on Israel. I didn't learn that in Florida. I've known of that before. I've marveled at the viciousness of Satan against the Jews after the flesh. I pondered, why is that? I guess it's because he knows that God loves them. But he's vicious. And we see that. You watch over the next 5 years. You watch the nation. Look at the United States. Look at the headlines. Look at the television. What are you getting? Oh, the Jews did this. It's slanted. Yeah. Our nation. And history will tell you. Anybody study history will tell you. Once a nation turns against the Jews,
That's
the end of your economy. Because I don't know what the Jews would do about it, but I know what God will do about it, because they have been God's chosen people. Do you know another thing? If you read in Joshua 2, that, or Joshua 1, God gave them Lebanon to the Negev and then to Euphrates and over to the Mediterranean. God gave them that land. There's no place in the Bible that was ever revoked. That's never been revoked. And another thing, the only thing that's been added to, Jesus, the son of David, God's given him the entire earth. You talk about real estate? You talk about who owns what? The only person who owns the earth is God. See? What right do we have to be a nation? From whence comes our authority to be a nation? From the people. The people can't give it. Only God can give authority. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Only God. This is the only place we can find who owns what. And God owns the earth. God made the earth. God owns the earth. And the only place in here that ever says he gave it to anybody was to the Jews and to Jesus. Those are the only two things. The Jews, their area of the Middle East. It's no place that has changed. Right? We can think and plan and scheme and what. I'm talking to us as Gentiles. I being a Gentile, I'm telling you that we had better go to God because our Lord Jesus was born in a Jewish home. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that'd go over tremendously. Wonderful. All right. If I was a Jew, you wouldn't take it for sure. And you're doubtful of me as I am. Say, Thompson, are you sure your name is Thompson? All right, now. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off and near. Through him we both have access by one Spirit. And you'll see this. When you meet the Jewish Christians, you'll see that there's only one Spirit. There's not two Spirits. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, that is, with the Jewish saints, and of the household of God. God wants to save the Arabs, he wants to save the Russians, he wants to save all these people, but he wants to bring them into Israel. Or the Bible doesn't mean what it says. I have 7 minutes to tell you a very complex thing. Very complex. This will leave you probably befuddled, scratching your head. I taught this to the Jews, they didn't understand me at all. I rebuked them for... and told them shame on them for celebrating the wrong New Year's Day. And they look at me so simply, because I'm the rabbi when I'm there. The teacher. And I taught you this before you know it, but I want to show you, it's got a new punch to me. It has to do with the two calendars. I told the Jews this, they never heard of it in their life. Never heard of it. Now, we have a calendar year that begins with January, and it runs through December. Okay? Then we have a fiscal year that begins in July, and it runs through June 30th. That's a business year. But July is the seventh month of the calendar year. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Oh me. And what's he talking about? What has this got to do with anything? Will the rain spoil the rhubarb? Now, the Jews also have 2 years, and this is how it came about. It came about in Exodus 12, verse 2. Now, from ancient times, there was a year that began with, well, I'll call it Tishrei. That's approximately the pronunciation. Just remember this. There was a year that began with a month that the Jews called Tishrei from ancient times. And they blew horns. Blowing horns on New Year's Day goes back very much, even before the shofar. And we have, of course, New Year's. All right. Then in Exodus 12:2, God installed a Passover, right? And then he made a new calendar. God just made a new calendar. And he said, this shall be the head of the months to you. This shall be the beginning. And right there, God created a new calendar. And it's just like he come to us and did something in May and said, from now on, your calendar begins with May. And that's what he did in Exodus 12:2. He come onto this ancient calendar, and he said, from now on, this shall be the beginning of months to you. Do you find that in Exodus 12:2? All right, that month, that year, that God instituted a Passover, begins, I think this is the pre-exilic names, I might be wrong with, But it began with something that I think is called Abi, but I stand corrected on that, whatever. And it runs through whatever the 12th month is that finishes up. So it goes from Abi, when the Passover was, that God just said, he broke it into the year, says, this is the beginning. All right, so the Jewish church year, church or liturgical year, begins in Abi, which is around our, what, Easter, around April sometime. And it runs for 12 months. That's their liturgical year. All right. Then you come and you read in Leviticus 23, verse 24, and you'll find that in this, which used to be the ancient beginning of the calendar, which I'll call Tishrei, they pronounce it Tishrei, which goes through the 12th month. Just like, and Tishrei is the 7th month of the year which begins with Abi. But this originally, in ancient times, was the first month of the year. But then when God made the Passover, he made a new calendar. So we have a year that runs in January 12 months and July 12 months. They have the same. Now, when you get into the last three feasts of the Lord, that is trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles, which is the big issue right now, they're celebrating that this week in Jerusalem, they come to the blowing of trumpets, which begins on the first day of Tishrei. And that the Jews call Rosh Hashanah. So, I said to them in the synagogue, or one of the places, I said, look, you read in Exodus that God gave the Passover at the beginning of the year. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I said, well, how come a couple of weeks ago you celebrated New Year's Day? Because, you see, Rosh Hashanah was a couple of... Because we're in the 7th month now. But they're celebrating New Year's now. I said, shame on you. Because what you have done is you have not observed Passover as New Year's, but you have observed the 7th month as New Year's, going back to a very ancient time. Why are you doing that? Why? If your New Year should be on Easter, begin with the Passover, why are you celebrating Rosh Hashanah now in the 7th month? It's because I got a roaring answer. Nobody even had any idea what I was talking about. And I don't think to this day they do. Maybe the pastor does. But you've been taught enough that you know. Now let me show you a tremendous thing here. God said that on the first day of Tishrei, you shall have a blowing of trumpets. And you see, they fell into it because people are used to blowing horns on New Year's Day. And then on the 10th day of this 7th month, you have the Day of Atonement. And then on the 15th to the 22nd, you have Tabernacles. And see, they're all excited about Tabernacles, and this Christian embassy is over there, because in Zechariah 14 it says all the nations have to come up and celebrate Tabernacle, and if you don't, you get no rain, which I thought, boy, the rain in Miami, man. It rained every day except our outside meeting, and that was a gully washer. And until about 4 in the afternoon, Audrey and I are in there in the apartment praying, and I look down at the Bible, it says, I've made a path through the Red Sea. You know? The rain stopped, the sun came out, and the wind came, and it dried it, and we had our outside Feast of Tabernacles on a dry parking lot, and the people there said it was the first time in 18 days that it hadn't rained. It started again on the next day and rained the rest of the time we were there. The one time, and then the parking lot was dry. A miracle of God. It was a miracle of God. And you find in Zechariah 14, it says, upon those that don't come up, there'll be no rain. So I was telling them that you're celebrating Tabernacles while you're getting all this rain. Man, rain, 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 rain. All right, now, look what this means. January to December is a calendar year which corresponds to the Jewish
liturgical or church year,
which we've been used to, a year of going to heaven, spiritual, the invisible. I mean, our life is here, and you know what? We can't get to see Jesus till we die. Our thing is essentially death-oriented. What we want beyond all is to see Jesus, but the limitations on it is we have to wait till we die. But you see, when the kingdom comes to see Jesus, you don't have to wait till you die. You have to go to Jerusalem. It's a whole different ball game. All right, now, I've been telling you in the kingdom of God that God is going to invade the material with the spiritual. And the coming of the spiritual into the material is the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
All right, now look. July to June is the fiscal or business year. Tishrei, to whatever the 12th month is the first month of the agricultural or civil year. This is the beginning of the civil year. And what this tells me is that we have come now to the time, not to the beginning of the Passover or the ceremonial year, but we have come to the beginning of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
See, we have come to this other year, which begins with Tishrei, which follows the cycle of agriculture. So what this says to me is that we have come to the time in history when our religion, which has always been heavenly and spiritual, thus fragmentizing our life into that which is secular and that which is spiritual, making it invisible, and our greatest hope is so that we can die and go to heaven, to the time when the kingdom of God is beginning to come into the earth, God is turning to the Jews, the spiritual people are feeling the push toward Israel, which I did not even realize was of God. I thought of some people on some kind of a Holy Land trip. But you realize that Christians are flocking over there. Do you know why? Because deep within us, just like a bird flying south for the winter, is a homing instinct. See, that's Christ in us, and we recognize that one of these days, Jesus is going to be in Jerusalem, and we're beginning to feel the pull. See, when there's actually something tangibly, we don't have to wait until we die to go to glory, because the glory's coming to the earth. Hallelujah! Praise God! Let's stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thou mighty Lord, thou mighty Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, thou art wonderful, Jesus, thou art wonderful, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We're so near to the end time, Lord. We thank you that one day we're going to see the face of our Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. How can the heavens contain thee much longer, O Lord? Oh, praise your name. Lord, we look back in history, Lord, and we see how we Gentiles, Lord, have treated your people. And Lord, our hearts are grieved within us, Lord. Lord, at our carnality, Lord, and our high-mindedness and our murder that's in our hearts. And Lord, we know that you love the Jewish people, Lord. The Bible tells us, Paul tells us, Lord, he could wish he were accursed for his brethren. And Lord, we just pray you'll put that same love in us, Lord, for all people, Lord. But help us, Lord, to be aware, Lord, that you are turning once again, Lord, and that we will be able to minister correctly, Lord, with a proper attitude of heart, Lord. Hallelujah. And watch you, Lord. Just watch you move, Lord, as you reveal yourself, Lord, in your tremendous love toward your own people, Lord, from whose race you were taken, Lord, and from whom the apostles came. Oh, Jesus, help us to feel what you feel, Lord, and to be part, Lord, of the tremendous kingdom of God, Lord. Lord, how sensitive, Lord, to what you're doing, Lord. Oh, to be aware, to have our eyes open, Lord, to see what you're doing all over the earth, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Oh, God, make us one, Lord. Help us to realize, to really realize that we are one in the stock of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Lord. That we are not a Gentile church. That we are not a separate kingdom. That we are not a heavenly kingdom, Lord. And all this rubbish that's been brought in, Lord, and has given us a high-minded attitude, clear it from our consciences, Lord, our consciousness. Hallelujah, that we may realize there's one kingdom, one king, one foe, one shepherd, one Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and that you want your people to be born again by the Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. Straighten out our theology and help us to understand, Lord, what you are doing, that we may be at peace, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Almost every one of us here, Lord, came out of a wild Gentile tree, Lord. You came and found us in our blood, Lord. And we were unclean and unwashed, Lord, and in our sins. Now, Jesus, you saved us. You washed us in the precious blood of the Lamb, Lord. And you gave us a place, Lord, better than that of sons and daughters, Lord. You raised us to your own right hand and made us in union with you, Lord. Now help us, Lord, not to be high-minded. Hallelujah. Not to be wise in our own conceits, Lord. But to have a sensitive heart, Lord, toward what you're doing, Lord. That we can be in your great plan for the end time. Oh, that we can be among those, Lord, who crown you king as the rightful son of David. Hallelujah. 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 Upon your mighty throne, as all nations are brought to your footstool in obedience. Oh, you're a mighty king, Jesus. You're our king today, Lord. And grant that we'll have a heart, Lord, for all nations when we realize that the Gentiles are almost over, Lord. Almost over. Oh, God, help us to be diligent that the rest of our days may be spent in preaching the gospel wherever you bring us, wherever you call us. Move us out of our own cultural trap and swamp, Lord, and get our feet going, Lord, that we can bring the gospel, Lord, 4.5 billion people in the world, Lord. Help us to never forget it, but to bear it on our shoulders, Lord. Hallelujah, that we are debtors, Lord. We are debtors. Not only to the Jews, Lord, but to all the Gentiles and to every man, woman, boy, and girl on the earth. Oh, God, deliver us from ourselves and set us free that we may follow you. Hallelujah. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the story of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Spirit is moving all over the world, as the prophets said 'twould be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Two sons.
Yes, Lord.
One was a Jew and one was a Gentile. Lord, you loved them both equally. And yet, the one that was a Jew took his share of the inheritance and he went forth and he did spend it. And then he was found naked and hungered. And he did go and even eat of the pods of the swine. And yet, Father, in your great love, you continued to want him back. And then he came to himself and he said, I will go back into my father's house and be a servant.
Yes.
And when you saw him from afar, you ran forth unto him and you gave unto him a robe and you gave unto him a ring and you prepared a great feast for him and you welcomed him back as your son because you loved him so. And yet there was your other son who was a Gentile, and he came and he saw you making merry with your son that had returned unto you. And he was grieved in his heart because you made merry with this son who had been running forlorn here and there in the earth and had not been close unto you. And oh, he was grieved and hurt. And you went forth unto him and you talked to him and you said, oh, don't be like this, don't be grieved. And yet he had something in his heart against that Jewish son. Father, help us not to be like that, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Lord, not to be like that, Lord, because you've allowed us to stay close to you. And Lord, you've been with us, and Father, we've walked with you. And Lord, now at this time, don't let your Gentile son be like that for the Jewish son, Lord, as you've called him back into you, Lord. But oh, God, give us a heart of compassion and love, O Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Give us a heart of compassion and love, O Lord, because surely we are one. You are our Father, O God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm going to ask Stan, if he will, to just conclude in prayer this morning. Praise God. Yes, Lord.
Father, truly, we
want to
thank you.
Yes, Lord.
All our hearts to enjoy.
Yes, Lord.
Praise.
Oh, you're so great.
Thank you for your son.
You're so great. You're so great.
Thank you for all these things that are being consummated in our eyesight. Thank you for your spirit and welcome.
Yes.
For the work that you are doing. We thank you, oh God. We pray for each one here present with us this morning.
Yes.
Lord God, pray for each one.
Yes, Lord.
That you would impart a special grace today, Father. So we might go out in you and things have before us. Where we are, Father, where many of us are in different places. We do not fully comprehend all that is being said and done. Help us not to be confused and bogged down with what we don't know. Help us to lay hold of Jesus.
Yes,
and to live simply before you. Do that which you ask of us. Refrain from doing that which you tell us is displeasing in your sight. And to leave the future and all things to you, trusting only that you will see it through to the end.
Yes,
and that you will raise us to the place you have for us. You will cause all things to work together from you.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus, let us sit at your feet quietly, meekly, and humbly, trusting in you, believing in you, having childlike faith. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless everyone.